Today's shiur is Masechta Nedarim, Daf Ayin Tes, and we will begin on Daf Ayin Ches Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom, Moser Rav Chisda. In the previous shiur, we had learned the opinion of Rav Chanina, who said that Shoisik Amanas Lamekat, if a husband, we know, if he hears a neder made by his wife, and he remained silent the entire Yom Shamay, the entire day that he became aware of the nether becomes automatically, the nether becomes automatically confirmed. Rav Chanina discussed the situation where someone heard his wife's nether and remained silent, not with the intent that he wanted to be Mekayim the nether, but rather with the intent that he wanted his wife to be distressed. He wanted to bother his wife, and that's why he remained silent, but really he intended to ultimately be made for the nether. And Rav Chanina taught us that under those circumstances, the husband retains the right to be made for, to revoke the nether, even 10 days later. Now our Gemara will attempt to ask questions to disprove, and ultimately disprove Rav Chanina's position. Moser Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda asks from the following braisa. The braisa says, "Chomer behekem ubehofer." There are stringencies regarding hakama that don't apply by hafara. Ubehefer ubehekem, and there are certain chumras that apply by hafara that don't apply by hakama. Explains the braisa. Chomer behekem. What is the stringency of heker over, of hekim over hafer, shastika mikayemes, as we just said, if the husband remains quiet for the entire yom shomoy, the nether becomes revoked. Vein shtika mevatelus. However, a nether cannot, a silence can never serve as afara. And as the Rishonim explained, even if there will be a situation that it's obvious that his silence was meant to affect a hafara, still, hafara can only be accomplished by verbalizing the hafara. Kiyim beliboy, kiyim. Says the Braisa, if someone was mekayim with it in his heart, he did not verbalize his hekim, the nether is still confirmed. And the Ran explains, the reason that Kiyim Beliboy is Kiyim is because, since, as we just have been explaining, that if a person remains silent, he could affect Hakama if he remains silent for the Yom Shamay. Similarly, says the Ran, that's why Kiyim Beliboy, even if somebody did not verbalize the Kiyim will be an effective Kiyim. Asks of Kivega, but Kivega is here on the Amid and the Gilyan Hashas, and he asked the following question: How could we compare the situation of Kiyim Beliboy? If somebody was Mekayim the Nether, he had in mind that the Nether should become confirmed, and that's how the Nether becomes confirmed, to a situation where a person was silent for the entire Yom Shamay. Asked of Kivega, in the situation where the person was quiet for the entire Yom Shamay, there's an umdan of the muchach. It's obvious that his intent was to be mekayim the nether. For the halacha, as we've been saying, is that once the Yom Shamay passes, without the husband having been made for the nether becomes confirmed. So it's an umdan of the muchach that that's what he meant. However, kiyim beliboy, as we've been explaining, means that somebody, when he heard his wife's nether, thought in his heart that he wants this nether to be confirmed, and the Braisa is teaching us that that is adequate to confirm the nether. There's no umdana the muchach under those circumstances. So how could we bring a raya? How could the Ran, ask Rabbi Kivega, bring a raya from where there is an umdana the muchach, where he remains silent for an entire Yom Shamay, to a situation where he immediately thought that this nether should be confirmed, but there is no umdan of the muchach? Dafika yam, and the Dvar Avram actually explain that there really isn't an umdan of the muchach, even in a case where a husband allow the entire Yom Shammai to pass without saying anything. Because there's always a chance that we don't, that he meant maybe to be made for the nether, and something prevented him from actually accomplishing the afara. We don't know exactly what moment of the day was the moment that the husband really wanted and intended that the nether should become mekuyim. And therefore, say the Dvar Avraham and the Fika Yam, even in a case of allowing the Yom Shammai to pass, we don't have a situation of a umdan of the muchach, and therefore the Ran's Raya is a nice Raya. Rav Chaim Oizer and Achiezer explains, answers Rav Kivega in a much more fundamental manner. He says, what is the problem with Kiyam Beliboy? That we need the Brisa to teach us that Kiyam Beliboy is a Kiyam. The problem, as Rav Kivega says, is because it's a Dvarim Shebelev. And we know that throughout Shasta there's a rule, Dvarim Shebelev, Einam Dvarim. If I think of something without articulating it, it remains Dvarim Shebelev, Dvarim Shebelev, Einam Dvarim. Says Reb Chaim Oizer, the only time there's a problem with Dvarim Shebelev is when there's something showing different than Dvarim Shebelev. So now, should we follow his Dvarim Shebelev, or should we follow the other point? So the halacha is we don't follow Dvarim Shebelev. But in a case where there's nothing to say that we shouldn't follow Dvarim Shebelev, like in our situation, where the husband says, comes and says that he was Mekayim, the nether, even though he never said it, he only thought it, that isn't the problem. So ask Reb Chaim Oizer, if so, what does the Brice have to teach it to me? If the only time Dvarim Shebelev lo have Dvarim is when there's something saying that we shouldn't follow Dvarim Shebelev, so here there's nothing saying that we shouldn't follow the Dvarim Shebelev, so why does the Brice even have to mention this din, the Kiyam Beliboy have a Kiyam? Says Reb Chaim Oizer that since Hekim, and we're going to discuss this concept more later in the Shir in Mitzvah Hashem, is a form of making a nether. Because Hekim is confirming a nether. It's extending and strengthening the nether. Since Nedarim, there's a halacha, a bitus for Sayim, for a nether to be a valid nether, it had to be articulated, verbalized. One would therefore think that for a Hekim, even though we know he meant a Hekim, and there is no problem of Dvarim Shebelev, maybe the Torah requires that a Hekim be verbalized, bitus for Sayim, just like the Torah requires that every nether be verbalized. That's what the Brisa says, that there is no such din by Hekim, and Hekim Behelev have a Hekim. However, Hefer Beliboy, if somebody only was Mefer in his heart, he didn't verbalize the Hafara, the Loch is Einem Mufer, the nether is not considered revoked. Kiyem, once somebody was Mekayim the nether, and Yochel HaHofer, it can no longer be revoked. Hofer, if somebody was made for the nether, and Yochel Kayim, it can no longer be confirmed. And as the Rishonim point out, even though the Braisa began by saying that the point of this Braisa is to teach us where Hafara is more stringent than Hakama, and where Hakama is more stringent than Hafara, regarding this then of Kiyim and Yochel HaHofer, Hofer and Yochel Kayim, here Hakam and Hafara have the same din. There's a machlokes achronim as to why this din applies. Chaznish explains that the din of Kiyim and Yochel HaHofer, Hofer and Yochel Kayim, is a din that the Torah gave regarding Hakam and Hafara. A husband only gets one chance. He gets a chance to remake him, he gets a chance to be mefer, but once he uses up his opportunity, he has no further opportunities. That's how the Chazon Ish explains. Reb Chaim Brisker explains somewhat differently. He says the reason why Hofer ain't a Yochel Kayim is very simple. Once the neder is revoked, the nether becomes null and void. So in Yochel Kayim, we can't confirm something that doesn't exist. And that's why Hafer and Yochel Kayim. Kayim, on the other hand, the halacha that once a nether is confirmed, Eina Yochel Hafer, it can no longer be revoked. The din, that din, says Reb Chaim, is a din that the Torah says regarding Hakama. That even though a nether that is not confirmed we have the option to be mefer such a nether, the Torah tells us that a nether that was already confirmed, there is no longer an option to be mefer such a nether. Ketani, but returning to our sugya, the Braisa clearly says shtika mekayemes, that the shtika has the ability to affect hakama. My love, asked the Gemara, isn't this Braisa even referring to a situation of a shaysik amanas lamekat, where he was quiet just with the intention of distressing his wife, and yet the Braisa says that this is an effective hakama? Different than what Rav Chanina said. Rav Chanina says shoysek amnas lamekat is not a hakama. Says the Gemara, loy. The Brais is referring to a situation of b'shoysek amnas lakayim. That's when the Brais says shtika, silence, affects confirmation. Asked the Gemara, shoysek amnas lakayim was already mentioned in the Brais, because the Brais separately said, Hainu kiyim b'libay kiyim, that if somebody was makayim the nether in his heart, it's an effective kiyim. So that can't be the case of shtika mekayemes. Says the Gemara, shtika mekayemes refers to the case of shoysik stam, where he just remains silent without any intent. And the Brais teaches us two situations. One situation is of kiyim b'libay, that the person had intention to confirm the nether. Under those circumstances, the nether becomes immediately confirmed. Then there's another situation where the person didn't say anything and he had no intention. There, if the Yom Shomai passes, the nether becomes confirmed. However, it could still be that in a situation of Shoisik Amnas Lamekat, the Brais could well agree there would be no confirmation at all. So the Gemara goes on to try to explain this Braisa, a different point of the Braisa. As we said at the beginning of the Shir, the Braisa said that that we're going to learn in this Braisa chumris, stringencies of hakama over hafara, and stringencies of hafara over hakama. Ask the Gemara, Ashkechan chaymer behakama behefer. So we have identified a stringency that applies to hakama, not to hafara. That hakama belev is a hakama, hafara belev is not a hafara. However, behafer me behakim menolon. What is the situation? What is the example where hafara is more stringent than hakama? The Braisa hasn't mentioned such a case. And as the Ram points out, the words menolon are somewhat imprecise. The words menolon is from where do we know? The Braisa is not looking from where do we know. The Braisa is looking for a case that would be such a situation where hafara is more stringent than hakama. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Yochanan, such a case exists. Nisholam al hakem, the halacha is hatoris nedarim can be done on a hakem, vein nisholam al hafer. However, hatoris nedarim cannot be done on a hafara. Hafara cannot be undone. And the Rishonim explain, why can't the hekim be annulled? Because the Rishonim say, why can a hekim be annulled? Because a hekim is really a form of a nether. It just strengthens the nether. And since we have found that nedarim may be annulled, similarly, so may confirmation of nedarim be annulled. There's a machlokes Rishonim, how long this Nisholam al-Hekim could take place. The Ran holds that Nisholam al-Hekim is only B'yom Shamay. That if on the day the husband heard the nether, if on the day that the husband heard the nether, he was making it, he confirmed it, as long as that day doesn't pass, the nether can still be annulled. However, once the Yom Shomoi passes, this nether can no longer be annulled. The Torah disagrees, and the Torah says that the nether can be annulled even long after it was confirmed. Some Mefarshim attempt to explain the opinion of the Torah by basing his position on Yerushalmi that we have quoted. The Yerushalmi says that if it's Yom Shomai, the husband heard the nether in the morning, and he was Mekayim or Mefer or nothing, the nether. And then in the afternoon, Rachmana Litzlan, something happens and the husband no longer is able to speak. Since he wasn't able to speak for the entire duration of the Yom Shammai, that day cannot be considered a Yom Shammai. Say to Mefarshim, that's what the Torah means. That if the husband was Mekayim the nether in the morning, the husband now can no longer be made for the nether. Therefore, the husband becomes like, to him, it becomes like a day which is no longer a Yom Shammai. And since he did not have a full Yom Shammai, the dinim of Yom Shammai do not apply, and the nether can be annulled later on. It's interesting to note that the Ramah, when he brings down this halacha, says, makes the following distinction. He says this in the name of the Marik. He says, as we've been learning, there are two types of hakama. There's a hakama which we have called an active hakama, where the husband actively confirmed the wife's nether. And then there's what we've been calling the passive hakama, that the Yom Shammai passes without the husband having done anything, and the nether becomes confirmed. Says the Ramah, in the case where the husband actively confirmed the nether, there the halacha is that if it's past the Yom Shammai, the nether can no longer be annulled. However, if the husband just passively confirmed the nether, then the nether could be annulled any time. And the Afike Yam explains the opinion of the Ramah. He says, as we've learned, that these two types of akama. He says, when there's an active confirmation by the husband, it strengthens the nether to such a degree that this nether can no longer be annulled. On the other hand, when there's only a passive hakama by the husband, the nether really hasn't been strengthened, and therefore the nether retains the same din as all nedarim. And the din by all nedarim are that nedarim can be annulled. And the Mefarshim go on to explain, the Ran, who clearly doesn't follow this opinion, and the Ran, who we said earlier, holds that even if there was a passive hakama, if it's past the Yom Shammai, the nether can no longer be annulled. How will we understand the opinion of the Ran? Say the Mefarshim. The Ran holds as follows. Since every husband knows that if he allows the Yom Shammai to pass, the nether will become confirmed, every husband, even in the case of a passive confirmation, is really doing an active confirmation. Because since he knows that as soon as the Yom Shammai passes, the nether becomes confirmed, and he's cognizant of that din, so that becomes like an active confirmation. An active confirmation was saying, once the Yom Shammai passes, that nether can no longer be annulled. And therefore, the Ran says that under all circumstances, once the Yom Shammai passes, even though our Gemara just taught us, Nisholim Alehekim, it cannot be after the Yom Shammai. There's an interesting machloikis, Reb Kiva Eger and the Avni Nezer. What would be the halacha if a husband confirmed the nether, then was made for the nether, and then they had the nether annulled? They were nisholim on the nether. Will, after that hatoris nedarim, will there be a requirement to be made for the nether again? Or could we rely on the afara that took place prior to this annulment, prior to this hatorah? Kiveiga says we can rely on that hafara. For even though when the hafara was said, it really wasn't effective, since the hafara does exist, as soon as the hekib is removed, ayidei the hatara, we can have the hafara become effective. Davni Nezer disagrees. Davni Nezer says that since when the hafara was said, it was actually a meaningless act because you can't be mefer after hakama. Therefore, says Rabbi Kiveger, that even if says the Avni Nezer, that hafara becomes a meaningless hafara, and therefore, even if there was hakama and then hafara and then shayla, the halacha would be that if the husband wanted to continue revoking the nether, he would have to actually be made for the nether after the hataras nedarim. Rav Shlomo Kluger makes the following observation. He says, as we're going to learn in a moment, the Gemara is going to teach us that we don't follow the opinion of Rav Chanina. And Shaisik Amanas Lamekat, somebody was quiet when the intention of distressing a wife, still that will be considered a hakama. Says Reb Shlomo Kluger, and what will be the din of hefer amnas lamekat? Someone's wife made a nether, and he was made for the nether, not because he really wanted to revoke the nether, he just wanted to distress his wife. What will be the din? Says Reb Shlomo Kluger, it must be that Shoisik Amnas Lamekat is also not going to be an effective hafara. And he brings a raya from the very brisa we're learning. He's saying, our brisa only found one chumrah by hafara over hakama, the one that we just learned, that hakama, nisholam ala hekim, vein nisholam ala hefer. But if, as the halach lamaisa is, that Shaisik amnas lamekat is a hakama, hafara amnas lamekat is not a hafara, so we have another chumrah. Hafara amnas lamekat is not a hafara, shaisik amnas lamekat is a kiyum. The fact that the Brice doesn't say it leads us to say that shaisik amnas lamekat is a hakama, hafara amnas lamekat is a hafara, and therefore they both have the same din, and this cannot be used as an example where hakama is more than hafara or hafara is more than hakama. So now the Gemara again attempts to refute Rav Chanina's opinion that shoisik amnas lamekat is not considered hakama. Masr of Kahana, the pasuk says v'm hachrish yachrish lo isha, the husband will be quiet the entire day b'yom shamay, the nether becomes confirmed. Says the Gemara, says the Braisa, the Shaisik Amanas Lamekat HaKosu B'Dabar. This pasuk is referring to a situation where he remains silent with the intention of distressing his wife, and it's still considered Hakoma. Ask the Braisa, at the Oymer B'Shaisik Amanas Lamekat, are we referring to a situation where he was quiet with the intention of distressing his wife? Or maybe it's only El B'Shaisik Amanas Lakayim, where he was quiet with the intention of being Mekayim the wife. Shoimer, says the Braisa, when the Pasuk already says Ki Hechrish Lo, so the Pasuk is already referring to a case of B'Shoisik Amanas Lakayim Hakos Medaber. We already know that that's considered Hakoma. Amani Mekayim Hechrish Yachrish Lo Isha B'Shoisik Amanas Lameker Hakos Medaber. The Pasuk is teaching us that even Shoisik Amanas Lamekat is considered a Hakoma, which is a Teyufta, which is a refutation of Rav Chanina's opinion, who says it's not considered hakama. Ask the Gemara. We have two psukim, but just because we have two psukim, how do we know that one of the psukim, ask the Gemara, is referring to shoisik amanas lamekat v'loikim? Ask the Gemara. Let's say one pasuk is referring to a situation of shoisik amanas lakayim, we was quiet with the intention to effect confirmation. The next pasuk will say b'shoisik stam, he was just quiet without any intention. That too will be considered a hakama. But we don't have necessarily a pasuk to teach us what will be the halacha by shoisik amanas Lameikat, answers the Gemara, Kroy Yisayrik Tsevi. There are actually three psukim, as the Ran explains. The pasuk says, Hachrish Yachrish, which represents two psukim, and then Kihichrish Law refers to the third pasuk. So one pasuk will say is referring to the case of Shoysik Amnas L'Kayim. The next pasuk will say is referring to the situation of Shoysik Stam. And the third pasuk will be referring even to the case of Shoysik Amnas L'Mekat. And the Brisa still teaches us that under all these circumstances, it's considered a valid Hakama. So Rav Chanina's opinion is refuted. But what we're going to find now in the Gemara Mitzvashem is that the Gemara is still going to bring two more rayas to refute the opinion of Rav Chanina. And the Ran already points out, why do we need more rayas to refute Rav Chanina's opinion? So the Ran says that we find such a thing in Shas many times. He said because the reason the Gemara will bring more rayas to continue refuting an opinion that has already been refuted is because in case the first raya, the refutation that we prove from the first raya, ends up being not held up, we will still have other rayas to refute the opinion. And that's why the Gemara goes on to bring two more rayas. However, other mefarshim find already a difficulty in this first raya that we just learned in refuting Rav Chanina's opinion. For they say, maybe when the pasuk says hachrish yachrish, we shouldn't assume that the pasuk is coming to teach us two halachas, but rather what the tenth of the pasuk is dibrit, as we have many times. Dibrit Torah kolosh b'nei adam. The Torah sometimes repeats its words as people sometimes repeat the word. And therefore this pasuk cannot serve as a refutation of Rav Chanina's opinion. Our Gemara, that clearly does not follow that approach. Why doesn't our Gemara follow that approach? So I saw two answers. One answer is that even though we find many times that the Gemara mentions this concept of Dibur Torah Kolosh Bnei Adam, the Gemara does so reluctantly. The Gemara would certainly prefer to use a pasuk to teach us a din. And therefore, here we're using the pasuk to teach us a din, which is far preferable to the Gemara than to use it to say Dibur Torah Kolosh Bnei Adam. Another teretz that I saw is the way that we apply the concept of Dibur Torah Kolosh Bnei Adam, that's only when the Torah uses the exact same word twice. However, here, the Torah doesn't use the same word. The Torah uses the words Hachresh Yachresh, two different words. When the Torah uses two different words, it's not considered Dibur Torah Kolosh Bnei Adam. Mas of Rava, so the Gemara, as we said, brings another refutation of Rav Chanina's opinion. From our Mishnah, we learned in our Mishnah that Nodrim Chashecha, if a woman made a neder right before the Zman, Shabbos afternoon, so the Aloch is Meifalachit Lechashka, the husband should be made for the neder still before Matzoi Shabbos. For Shem Loi Hefer Vachashka, if he will not be made for before Matzoi Shabbos, the Yom Shammai will pass, and any Yochel Hofer, he can no longer be made for the nether. Now, as we explained, the Mishnah. Obviously, the nether that's being revoked in our Mishnah, there is no Tzairuch Shabbos. It's 5 minutes before Shabbos is over. There is no nether that is that serious that you can't wait the 5 minutes. Obviously, the only reason why the husband should revoke the nether in these last 5 minutes of Shabbos is because if he waits till Matzoi Shabbos, it'll be too late. Ask the Gemara, if the halacha is that Shoysik Amanas Lameikat, when somebody was quiet just because he wanted to distress his wife, that's not considered a hakama. Certainly somebody who was quiet because he wanted to be Shoym Shabbos, he didn't want to be made for Nedarim on Shabbos, it shouldn't be considered Hakama. Amai, Lehevik is Shoyis Rakamanas Lameikat. Being quiet because you want to be Shoyim on Shabbos and not be made for another on Shabbos certainly should be as good as Shoyis Rakamanas Lameikat. If we see that being quiet on Shabbos would still affect Hakama, certainly Shoyis Rakamanas Lameikat will affect the Hakama, which is a Tiyufta, which is a refutation of Rav Chanina's opinion. Masa Rav Ashi, another refutation of Rav Chanina's opinion. The Braisa says, if a husband says, Yudei ani sheyesh nedarim, I know there's a concept of nedarim. I know that my wife can make nedarim. Aval eini yudei sheyesh mefirim. But I wasn't aware that a husband has the right, the authority to revoke his wife's nedarim. So when he becomes aware of this halacha, that he's allowed to be made for his wife's nedarim, yofer, he should be made for them when he becomes aware of that din. That day becomes the Yom Shamay. What about a situation of a yedei inishiyesh mefirim? So a husband knows, I know that the husband, under certain circumstances, has the right to revoke his wife's nedarim. Aval eini yedei shezeh neder. I don't know that this nether falls into the category. This is a wonderful introduction for the next parak, where we're going to learn that not all nedarim may a husband be mefer. And I didn't know that this was in the category of nedarim that I may be mefer. Ramei Omer lo yofer. Ramei says he can no longer be mefer the nether when he becomes aware that the nether that he heard from his wife was in the category of nedarim that he's allowed to be mefer. B'cham Omer yofer. Come say, since he didn't know the halacha, so when he becomes aware of the halacha, that day becomes the Yom Shammai. Ask the Gemara. And the simple way of learning the Gemara, the proof is for Ramei's opinion. Certainly, not being aware that I'm allowed to be made for a nether, that and remaining silent, is certainly better than Shaisik Amnas Lamekat. So if Shaisik Amnas Lamekat is not considered hakama, this certainly should also not be considered a hakama. If Rameya holds that even though I didn't know the din, it's that I could be made for the nether, it's still considered a hakama. Certainly this is considered a hakama. Since Rameya says that it's not, that it's still considered mekuyim, certainly shoysek amnas lamekat is considered a kiyim, which is a tayufta refutation of Chanina's opinion. The simple way of explaining the Gemara is the way we explain now. The Rameya says that it's not, that it's considered a hakama, and Shaisak Ibn Aslameka therefore is certainly considered a hakama. However, the Rishonim point out that the question, the Ran says, is always even from the opinion of Chachamim, because their dispute with Rameya is only, is this considered a Yom Shammai or not? However, they agree with Rameya that if halachically this were to be considered a Yom Shammai, the husband could no longer be made for the nether. So we see that any shtika, any silence, even silence for a good reason, is considered silence that confirms the nether. There's also a machloikis, how to understand the opinion of Rameya. What would be the halacha, according to Rameya, where the husband wasn't aware that he's allowed to be made for this type of nether, but since he didn't know, so he was made for the nether. He took a chance. If the afara is good, he's being made for it, and if not, not. Will that afara end up being an effective afara? Poshup shat, most Rishonim say it would be effective afara. He was made for B'yom Shammai. However, other Rishonim suggest that since this person, when he made the afara, did not recognize that this would be an effective hafara, therefore, even though he verbalized it, it's not considered an effective hafara, and according to Rameh, this nether doesn't have the ability to be mufar. Hanuloch nara marasa, hanuloch nara marasa, hanuloch nara hamarasa. The next and last parak of the Masechta that we begin, the Ezer Hashem, discusses the concept that we've been learning, that a husband has a right to be mefer his wife's nedarim. However, the Mishnah and the Gemara Mitzvah Shem will teach us which nedarim a husband may or may not be made from. The Meiri points out in his introductory remarks to our perek that a nether, if a wife makes a nether to prohibit something that she's obligated to do for her husband, she makes a nether, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, not to have relations with her husband, not to work that she's obligated to do, the nether is entirely ineffective. But if a wife makes a nether not on those types of subjects, the nether is effective. And there are two types of nedarim we're going to learn that a husband maybe Mefer. One are Nedarim of Inui Nefesh, the Nedarim that caused the wife pain, and one are Nedarim of Beinoi LeBeino that affect the relationship between the husband and the wife. And as we're going to learn in the Gemara Mitzvah, the halachas of these revocations are very different. The Nedarim of Inui Nefesh, once the husband is made for them, they remain null and void, permanently null and void. The Nedarim Beinoi LeBeino only remain void as long as the couple is married. But once the couple no longer has any relationship, and the Gemara is going to explain exactly till what that time is, the hafara becomes null and void, and the neder becomes effective. Moreover, the dharma shebeinoi lebeinoi, if there's a neder that affects the relationship, but that's not the entire scope of the neder. Part of the neder affects their relationship, and part of the neder does not affect the relationship. Only the part that affects the relationship may the husband revoke, but the part of the neder that does not affect the relationship, the husband may not revoke. There's a machlokes rishonim regarding the father and daughter. Most rishonim, based on the Sifri, say that the limitation that we just learned that exists between a husband and a wife, that a husband may only be made from the dorim of inui nefesh and beinoi lebeinoi, also applies to a father and a daughter. The Rambam, however, disagrees, and the Rambam holds that a father has a right to be made for all nedarim of his daughter. However, even in the opinion of the Rambam, we've quoted the opinion of the Lecha Mishnah that says that once the girl becomes mureses, as we learned at the beginning of the previous perek, where a husband and a father are made for her nedarim jointly, since the husband only has the right to be made from the dorim of Beinoi LeBeinoi and Inu Nefesh, so too while the girl is mureses, the father also only has the right to be made from the dorim of Beinoi LeBeinoi and Inu Nefesh. Rabbeinu Yuchiel, a Rishon, goes on to say, what would be the halacha if a woman was mureses and then her husband either divorced her or died and she's still a nara, that the halacha is that she reverts back to father's home? Says Rabbeinu Yechiel that even according to the Rambam, who says that when a girl is under her father's jurisdiction, the father has a right to be mefer all nedarim, says Rabbeinu Yechiel, once a girl was mureses, and then even though she, under certain circumstances that we just described, she reverts back to her father's home, still under those circumstances, even the Rambam will agree that the father only has a right to be made from the Dorim of Inui Nefesh and Beinoi LeBeinoi. Says the Mishnah, Ve'elu Nedarim Shehu Mefer, these are the Dorim that a father may be Mefer, Devarim Shesh Bem Inui Nefesh, the Dorim that have referred to affliction, another that causes the wife to be in pain. There's an interesting Balaturim in the pasuk that says kol nedav kol shvus iser la nois nefesh. So brings down the Balaturim, the pasuk in Tehillim that says lam natseach amachlas la anois. Machlas is a instrument, and the Mefarshim, the Sefer Paradis Yosef, says that what the Balaturim is teaching us is that if a woman makes a nether that she will not be allowed to listen to music, lam natseach amachlois la'anois, it's considered a nedav inu nefesh that the husband has a right to be made from. So the varm shesh by inu nefesh are me'erchatz, a woman makes a nether, if I'll take a bath. We'll spend a lot of time in the Gemara Mitzvah in tomorrow's shiur explaining what the inu nefesh here is. V'mloy akutz, if I will not take a bath. If eskashet, if I will adorn myself. V'mloy eskashet, if I will not adorn myself. The Ran explains that eskasher, he means adornment of the face, that is considered neder of inu nefesh. But when we speak about kishut shamata, adorning in the private places, that only falls under the category of dvarim shebeinoi lebeinoi. There are other rishonim that hold that both kishut shamala and kishut shamata are in the category of inu nefesh. kishut begodim, that if a woman makes a neder that she will not be allowed to put on certain nice clothing, everybody agrees falls under the category of inui nefesh. Amar Rabbi Yosef, but Rabbi Yosef disagrees. Ein elu inui nefesh. These do not fall under the category of inui nefesh. Rather, the elohein inui nefesh. What are nedarim of inui nefesh? Amar kainam peiros olam alai. If a woman says that she will not eat any fruit, that is considered inui nefesh, and I raise a yochel lahofer, and therefore the husband may revoke such a neder. If a woman, however, said peiros medina ze'alai, if she says the peiros of a specific country, that is not considered inui nefesh, because yovel medina acheres bring from a different country. However, points out the Ran, that's only if she prohibited the peiros of a country that she doesn't live in. So she doesn't have to eat fruits from a foreign country. But if she prohibited herself fruits of the country she lives in, then she certainly, that is certainly considered inu nefesh. If somebody says, Peres chanvoni ze'olai, if somebody says, I won't eat fruit, if a woman says she won't eat fruit from a specific store, any yachal lahofer, because you could bring from another store. However, if that was the only store that the husband has credit in, that the storekeeper extends him credit, then the husband may be made for the nether. Also, the Rishonim say that even though Rabbi Yossi says that fruit can be brought from a different store, or fruit can be brought from a different country, therefore they are not considered nedarim of inu nefesh. Say the Rishonim, they may not be considered nedarim of inu nefesh, but they do fall under the category of beinoy lebeina. Says the Gemara, from our Mishnah it seems, nidre inu nefesh hu demefer. The husband only has a right to be mefer in the nedarim of inu nefesh. She'ein ben inu nefesh, but nedarim of nada inu nefesh, ain't a mefer. The husband doesn't have a right to be made for. Ask the Gemara of Atani, we learned that the Pasuk says, Benish Lishtoi, Ben Av Labitoi, Melamit, Shabal Mefer, Nadarim, Shabeno Labeno. Teach us that the husband doesn't have a right to be made for Nadarim, or Beno Labeno. And in defining what are Nadarim, or Beno Labeno, says the Tosfos Rid, anything that will cause strife, anything that will harm the Shalom Bayis, the harmony between the husband and the wife, fall under the category of Beino Lebeino. So why did our Mishnah ask the Gemara ignore the category of Nedarim of Beino Lebeino? Amri, they answered, Halein Vehein Lei Mefer. Yes, a husband may be Nefer both in Nedarim of Inu Nefesh and Beino and Lebeino. But there's a very big difference. Miu Inu Nefesh Mefer Loilem. The Nedarim of Inu Nefesh, the husband, the Hafara affects forever. Aval Ein Beino Nefesh, if it's no inu nefesh, if it's beino lebeino, kidi isa tachtoi, as long as they're married, havi afara, it's a valid revocation, michi migarish lo, but once they're divorced, chayla nidra, her nidra becomes effective. And the Gemara repeats what it just says. Bedvarim shebeino lebeino, things that are that affect their relationship, and ein behem inu nefesh, but don't cause affliction, that's where the halach is, that the neder is effective once the marriage ends. Avol yesh ben inu nefesh. If there's inu nefesh involved, l'chayel na nidra, once the husband revokes the neder, it remains permanently revoked. Ask the Gemara, is that true? That dvarim she'en ben inu nefesh, the dvarim that don't have inu nefesh, that only have beino lebeino, ki megarish lo, chaylo la, that when he divorces her, they become effective. V'tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, that if a woman makes a neder that what she works should be prohibited to the husband, so that neder, as we said before, the Tanakhama says is ineffective because the woman is obligated to work. However, the husband should be made for the neder. He may divorce her, and then he'll never be able to remarry her, because if as soon as they get divorced, the neder becomes effective. Alma, so what should he do? He should be made for it. What will that farah accomplish? That farah will accomplish that even after they get divorced, the Pharaoh will accomplish that even after they get divorced, the nether will remain revoked. We see from here if they divorces her, if he had made a farah beforehand, the hafara remains in effect. Amri, so they rephrased what they said. Halein v'alein v'hafara. Both the hafara of inu nefesh and bein ala b'na hafara. Elon nidre inu nefesh for bein latz v'bein alcherim. The nether is permanently revoked, no matter to whom it, even if she marries someone else, that nether is no longer a nether. However, ein bein inu nefesh, if it's a nether of beinoi l'beinoi, la'atz me mefer, as long as he is married to her or can remarry her, meaning that if he will divorce her but she doesn't get remarried to someone else, so there's always the potential that he'll take her back, that farah remains a hafara. However, once she remarries someone else and he can't remarry her, at that point the revocation becomes null and void. Vaktani. Which nadarim remain permanently revoked, even when she marries someone else? Nadarim sheish ben inu nefesh. However, nadarim shebeinoi lebeino, once she remarries someone else, the afara goes away and the nether becomes effective.